96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Do you have a question about the law? Are you having a legal issue and you're looking for answers? Well, tonight, our Lawyers Roundtable is here to help you. My guests are Patrice Sultan, criminal defense attorney, and Bobby Henry, business and personal injury attorney. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Patrice, Bobby, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. Always a pleasure.
Let me first start with an issue that has been in the news recently. You're both familiar with the Corinne Gaines story in suburban Baltimore. She was killed by Baltimore County Police during an incident a week ago yesterday. However, I want to ask about the March 10th incident where Corinne Gaines was stopped by police. It was a traffic stop and arrest. I want you to listen to this, and then I would like for you to comment on not only her rights, but what you think she did right and or wrong.
You put your hands on me. I promise you, you will
okay,
have to murder
to
me. You
okay.
will have to murder me. So go ahead and get ready to do that. You will have to kill me. I promise you.
You're going to jail, right? Listen,
and they will not kidnap me. They're not going to steal my vehicle, and they're not going to kidnap me the way they think that they are. They're going to have to kill me today, and it's something that they're not going to anticipate. Okay. You guys will take me away from here in a body bag. Look at me in my eyes. You guys are going to take me away from here in a body bag. I promise you.
That incident again, March 10th in Baltimore County, the misdemeanor charges that resulted from that arrest eventually led to the incident that we saw on Sunday when they were attempting to serve a warrant. First things first, Patrice, your thoughts about what you just heard in that traffic stop.
Well, it's interesting when you ask about what her rights were and then also ask whether she did the right thing. I think it's hard to talk about knowing your rights without talking about knowing your remedies under the law. And so doing the right thing depends on what remedy you're trying to achieve. So if someone wants to talk about their rights under the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments in the context of their criminal case, when they're a defendant and they want to exclude evidence at trial, that's very different than what Corinne Gaines is saying when she's saying, I want to have the freedom to move about the city as I want to without being disrupted. And I don't care if that means that you escalate this. I'm here to assert my rights and have my voice be heard. So it depends on the objective that you're trying to achieve. But I think it's important to talk about the remedies that are available.
Interesting. Bobby, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree with Patrice there. It's what you're ultimately trying to get at. But the thing that I would always add when I talk to people about police stops, be it, you know, in the home serving a warrant, be it on the street or what have you, ultimately you have to think about surviving. You've got to think about surviving the next day. And when you challenge that officer in the street, albeit your right to do that, you escalate the situation. Now, as far as what I heard on the tape there, she was clearly it was being escalated, and so now the officer is starting to think, okay, is this situation getting ready to get out of hand? And then people get to use the cliche trigger happy, and that usually does not end well for the alleged suspect.
Well, I thank you both for your input on that issue. Certainly, the investigation into the police shooting of Corinne Gaines is still ongoing in Baltimore County, and I'm sure this is not the last that we've heard of that case. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Lawyers Roundtable. If you have a question about a legal issue, Now's your time to pick up the phone. Let's go to line one. William calling from Frederick. William, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening.
Hey.
Hey, so my question is, I have a child support order and a custody order from North Carolina. I used to live in North Carolina as military. Since that order, I've moved around all over the world. I currently live in Maryland, and my daughter now lives with me. But I've been having a problem getting that court order or that custody order changed. So I've been paying the mother, continually having to pay her child support for the past year, some of which she recoups back to me. But how do I go about, as a Maryland resident, to change that order? Do I need to go back through the court system in North Carolina?
Well, let's see, William. Let's see what our attorneys have to say about that. Bobby, do you want to take a crack at that first?
Yeah, I'll take a quick crack at that. He indicated that he had been having some difficulty with that. My question back to him would be, have you actually filed here in Maryland to have that North Carolina judgment enrolled here? Since the child is here in Maryland, the Maryland courts are going to take a very close look at it. And 9 times out of 10, unless North Carolina has some real nexus to it, they can relinquish their jurisdiction to Maryland to enforce. Now, if he is talking, he mentioned two things. He mentioned child support and he mentioned custody. So is he just wanting to deal with now the child support, the child support portion of it, or is he looking to reduce his support payments?
Real quick, William, I've got a lot of calls. Which one is it, or is it both?
Yeah, well, I was told I have to change the custody in order to stop the support. I have no need to pay her support since the child lives with me.
Have him, very quickly, Harold, just have him to contact any Maryland lawyer and go file in the Maryland state courts for custody.
Okay.
And then that will bring up the other North Carolina judgment.
William, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Lawyers Roundtable. If you have a legal question, whether it's a criminal matter, if you have a personal injury issue, perhaps if you have an issue about insurance or even clearing up an arrest warrant, our attorneys at the Lawyers Roundtable are here to help you. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Dee. Dee calling from Howard County. What's on your mind, Dee?
Good evening. I have a personal injury case against a fast food chain, Applebee's, actually. And they said that they would pay because they found out that the bone that was in the hamburger that I ate was theirs. But now they're coming back and they're saying that I have to provide my employer's verification that I took leave. And I gave them my leave slips from the government. So what else should I provide?
Bobby, I know that's your wheelhouse. You want to quickly tell her
what the last part she said about the government?
She said she provided documents from her job. I take it, do you work for the federal government?
Yes.
Okay.
All they're simply looking for is proof that you lost that time from work. Now, it can be leave time. That doesn't matter. You know, the fact that you had to take leave as a result of the injury you sustained at that establishment, it won't matter. But it is normal course to require a victim to provide those lost wages, and they have to verify what your hourly rate is. And then, so once they verify how many hours you lost, what your hourly rate is, then they can assess the lost wages in compensation of your loss.
Okay. Dee, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Lawyers Roundtable answering your legal questions. Let's go to Robert in Southeast. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hi. Hey. In 1977, I was convicted for armed robbery. I did my time. I did 23 years of parole. and without any violations. However, I'm due for a liver transplant with the Washington, D.C. VA. They not only included that charge, but they also included something that I was never arrested for, and that was malicious wounding with attempt murder. They even included that.
Well, Robert, let me stop you. What is your question?
What should I do about it? I need to have this corrected because that's inaccurate information. And I was denied the transplant a couple of weeks ago because they said I didn't have family support. But I think it's a little more to that.
Let's see what Patrice has to say about that. Sounds like a rather complicated question, but at least on the criminal side.
Sure. First, with respect to clearing up a record that's inaccurate, I would find out what jurisdiction they're saying that arrest or conviction came from and then get a certified copy of the conviction from there. It should include some identifying information, either a corrections ID number or a date of birth or something like that, and that might be the first starting place. I'm not sure about the liver transplant part of it or what else needs to be done on the health side, but in terms of correcting the information, there should be a way to get from the clerk's office a certified copy of whatever conviction they're attributing to you that's not yours.
Okay, Robert, good luck to you. Thank you so much. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Lines are still open. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Bonnie from the district and Angela in Hyattsville. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Still taking your calls. If you can't get through, please keep trying. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your questions at the Lawyers Roundtable in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is done.